why did the Samaritan cross the road? And the truth is, we can come up with all the answers we want because ultimately, Jesus doesn't say. All Jesus does is tell us a story about one guy in a ditch and then two other guys who walk by without stopping to help, but then a Samaritan who does.
That's the Reverend Dr. Brian Coulter, and today he brings you a challenging sermon called Why Did the Samaritan Cross the Road? I'm Peter Wallace. It's day one.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's historic Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, we're honored to have with us the Reverend Dr. Brian Christopher Coulter, Senior Pastor of First Presbyterian Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Before coming to Fort Worth in 2021, he was pastor of First Presbyterian Church of Aiken, South Carolina for 7 years, and earlier served at Trinity Presbyterian in Fairhope, Alabama. A graduate of Oklahoma State University, Brian earned his Master of Divinity from Columbia Theological Seminary in Decatur, Georgia, and his Doctor of Ministry from McCormick Theological Seminary in Chicago. A writer for numerous publications, he is the author of Be Holy, Find Identity, Find Belonging, Find Purpose. Brian, welcome to Day One.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. Good to be with you.
You were last with us in 2019, which seems like eons ago now, and since that time you've moved west to Fort Worth, Texas to become senior pastor of First Presbyterian Church, whose mission is to inspire disciples and engage the world. What are some of the ways your church does that?
Well, it's good to be with you, Go, and I do feel like 2019 was about 3 decades ago at this point. We've lived so much life since then.
It's
been kind of crazy. Yeah, love getting involved at First Pres Fort Worth, a great community there. And when I got there, kind of their tagline or their purpose or their mission that they talk about is inspiring disciples, engaging the world. One thing I really liked was just about everybody in the church knew it, which was a good sign to me. They took that seriously. But two, I looked at all the ways that they are busy inspiring disciples great education programs. We have some of the top educators in the denomination working at the church there. We have some wonderful Bible study classes, some small group classes, things like that. Lots of inspiration going on through education, through worship, through music, through the arts. And then the engaging the world part. One of the things that they talked to me about before I got there was during the pandemic, they made 2 gifts to different agencies of $1 million. And they told me that, and this is at the time which majority of the churches were having to figure out how they're going to keep the lights on.
Right.
And this church instantly kind of looked out and found ways to make those gifts happen. Even in the midst of the pandemic, even in the midst of the crunch that they were feeling also, they still saw those gifts through and still were able to make it to the Presbyterian Night Shelter in Fort Worth. They took care of that, and they completely renovated the Carl Travis Men's Shelter. And then along with that, they made another gift to New Leaf, a sustainable housing development that is a new model that we're trying to create in Fort Worth and beyond. And so inspiring disciples, engaging the world, too many ways to count.
Well, your sermon today draws from the gospel lesson for this Sunday from Luke chapter 10, the well-known story of the Good Samaritan. Your sermon is called, Why Did the Samaritan Cross the Road? Brian, thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you for having me.
And if you'd like to listen again to today's program with Brian Coulter with an extended interview, you can subscribe to Day One Weekly Program on your favorite podcast app or listen on our website at dayone.org. And if you'd like a free printed sermon transcript, just call us at 404-815-9110.
Reading for the day comes from Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 25. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Why did the Samaritan cross the road? Why did the Samaritan cross the road? That's basically it, right? That's essentially what Jesus says, right? Kind of, maybe. Why did the Samaritan cross the road? Now, you've got to try pretty hard to get Jesus' words into that exact format, but I think it's doable. If you run his spoken Aramaic words through the written Greek format, leaning heavily on a Latin filter before the English version pops out, those words still aren't exactly what Jesus says, but I sure could make a more compelling case for it that way, couldn't I? Why did the Samaritan cross the road? That's basically the buildup. That's essentially the essence of it all. But I admit, the words Jesus speaks aren't an exact match in that format, and I'll tell you exactly why I think that is, because that format hadn't exactly been created yet. You see, in 1847, a New York magazine entitled The Knickerbocker first published it, except they said street instead of road and chicken instead of Samaritan. And their answer? Do you know? Do you know it? Do you know why the chicken crossed the street? Yeah, to sell magazines. That's right, to sell the magazines they had. No. No, because it was funny. It's funny, chickens crossing the street. It's humorous. That's why the chickens cross the street, because it's funny. Also, their actual printed response was, that's right, to get to the other side. Now, this format, this line, has survived for over 175 years now, since 1847. And so it begs the question, why do you think this laughable line has had the longevity it has had? Because it's funny, it's humorous, but also because it's so adaptable. It's so malleable. You can make it fit just about anything you need. You can make it your own. It's also worth mentioning that the Knickerbocker back then didn't even call this a joke. There was no joke section in the magazine. There were no comics included. They used it as an illustration in an article about anti-humor, a quip that might seem like a riddle, but offers us a straightforward, unfunny solution. That's anti-humor. So, when I go through the process of reduction and boil Jesus' words down into this concentrated form, whether you think it's a faithful paraphrase or not, when I claim that basically Jesus essentially said, "Why did the Samaritan cross the road?" how does that strike you? as a riddle or a joke? Or is it something more than either of those? Is it an illustration? Is it an example? Is it a model? Is it an explanation? Is it a case in point? Is it a for instance? And while we're on the topic, why did the Samaritan cross the road? What's the answer? Is there an answer? Is there just one answer? Could it be multiple choice or fill in the blank? Now, this is where it starts to get more fun for me. We could continue to argue the rendering of Jesus's words into this questionable quib, or we could argue the response. Let's spend some time there now, shall we, with the response. Question, why did the Samaritan cross the road? Answer, and let's keep it really simple at first, answer, maybe because he wanted to, or maybe simply because he had to. Or maybe because something was blocking the other side. Maybe a mean-looking chicken was already on that side, and it forced him, the chicken forced him to cross the road. I don't know. Do you know? Do you know? Who knows? Why did the Samaritan cross the road? Maybe because he was a big fan of anti-humor. Perhaps crossing the road was easier than circling the road. Perhaps crossing the road was easier than crossing the Delaware. I don't know. Why did the Samaritan cross the road? Maybe because he was a funny, punny guy. Perhaps it was because he saw a Samaritan's purse over there and thought it looked real nice and he wanted to get it for his wife. I don't know. Why did the Samaritan cross the road? Do you know? Who knows? Well, let's travel a little more with this Samaritan, shall we? Let's go a little deeper with this. If we want to get all the way into the real nitty-gritty with this, then let's dive into the real nitty-gritty with this, shall we? Questioning the answer to this question is just like questioning the question itself. You can make it fit just about anything you need. You can make it your own. It's so adaptable. It's so malleable. Why did the Samaritan cross the road? Really, the number of answers is limited only by the number of respondents. You can come up with any answer you want, and that's exactly what people have done over the years with what Jesus said. Maybe the Samaritan crossed the street because he wasn't very street smart. Now, the Samaritan lived in a different world than the priest and the Levite, same world, but different world. You know what I mean? You're not always supposed to cross the street to check on a guy like that, you know? How do you know he's actually hurt? How do you know he's not just playing a trick on you? How do you know he doesn't have a buddy waiting in the wings to jump you? You just don't do that. You don't go over there. You ditch the dude in the ditch because it might be a trap, it might be a setup, and you yourself might end up stripped, beaten, half dead, or worse. Yeah, maybe the Samaritan crossed the street because he wasn't very street smart. I had this answer given to me in Atlanta when I was leading a Bible study at a youth center. The kid said, "This story's whack. You just ain't supposed to do stuff like that. I wouldn't have ever walked up to him." So maybe the Samaritan crossed the road because he didn't know the real world road rules. Or maybe the Samaritan crossed the road because he did know, maybe he knew all too well the religious rules of that day. The priest didn't stop to help. The Levite didn't stop to help either. Both are people who are connected to the religious institution of the day. Both are people who supposedly care for the other. Now, we can talk about purity laws, and we can talk about clean and unclean and ritual holiness, complexities that both of them dealt with. We can talk about how they might have been on their way to helping someone else, and we can talk about how they might have been late to a very important board meeting, but facts are facts, folks. And neither of them stopped. Neither of them helped this man lying half dead in a ditch. And so countless bloggers and endless articles and all the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, all the nuns like to point out the church's hypocrisy here. And they've got a point. Why did the Samaritan cross the road? Maybe he knew the underside of religious institutionalism all too well. Maybe he figured that the do-gooders weren't going to do that man any good. And so he decided to help because he assumed, correctly, that they wouldn't. Why did the Samaritan cross the road? Now, some joke that the Samaritan might have crossed the road to get away from Samaria. All of Jesus' disciples wanted to avoid Samaria, and maybe the Samaritan was trying to do the same. William Barclay talks about this as Samaritan shame. Why did the Samaritan cross the road? Others still point to the complicated history of Samaria. The Samaritans were the ones who were allowed to stay after the Assyrians came, while others were sent off into exile. And so some like to point out that many Samaritans benefited from the banishment of their brothers and sisters. Amy Jill Levine wonders if the Samaritan was suffering from Samaritan guilt, perhaps. Why did the Samaritan cross the road? Was it Samaritan shame? Was it Samaritan guilt? Was it righteous indignation? Was it religious hypocrisy? Why did the Samaritan cross the road? We can come up with as many answers as we want. To be funny, to be practical, to get away from some feeling, to get closer to some meaning, the answers are limitless. To assist, to humor, to take care of, to play a part of, to alleviate another or alleviate himself. Why did the Samaritan cross the road? And the truth is, we can come up with all the answers we want because ultimately, Jesus doesn't say. All Jesus does is tell us a story about one guy in a ditch and then two other guys who walk by without stopping to help, but then a Samaritan who does. And Jesus gives no rationale. Jesus gives no punchline. Jesus gives no final conclusion. The closest we get to an explanation is in the brief introduction to this Samaritan stranger when Jesus says, "But a Samaritan while traveling came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity." Moved with pity. I love that phrase. What do you think it means? What does it mean to you, moved with pity? Pity can mean a lot of different things. Pity can be a feeling of sorrow, a feeling of compassion. It can come from another's misfortunes. It can come from looking at one's own lamentations. Pity can be a feeling. It can be a co-feeling, a shared feeling with another, for another, caused by another. Pity can also be causal itself. It can be a result, an effect, an outcome from a feeling. Pity can be a cause caused by regret or disappointment. What a pity. What a shame. What a shameful, pitiful pity. The word pity does mean something, but pity is a pretty vague term to say the least. Truly, it's a pitiful term if you're attempting to parse out an explanation here. That's why some translations avoid the word pity altogether, and they say something like deeply moved. I think this cheats the language in our text today, but it reveals a nuance. You see, at its root, the word pity is connected to the word for bowels, for the innards, from the gut. So in the story Jesus tells, a Samaritan while traveling came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity, moved with compassion, deeply moved, moved from deep within, moved from his gut to help this man. And so help this man he did. Oil, wine, bandages, animal in denarii. So help this man he did. Now, let's pause to recalibrate for a second. We've rephrased Jesus' story into a question. We've established the question has more answers than we'll ever be able to get to. And the only rational conclusion Jesus alludes to is based on someone's gut instinct, and that's it. So, I think it's time to bring in the lawyer, don't you? We haven't talked much about the lawyer yet, but he was the catalyst for this whole story, at least this retelling of this whole story. He stood up to test Jesus, the text tells us. He knows the law. He talks about eternal life. He wants to justify himself, the text says, and he wants to know what it means to be a neighbor. And ultimately, Jesus lets him answer his own question by putting it back directly to him. There was one who followed his gut to help another in the story Jesus told, and then Jesus asked the lawyer what his gut said about being neighborly. Basically, Jesus essentially asks, why did the Samaritan cross the road? Knowing there are limitless answers that could come from this, knowing that the lawyer would have to think about it right then and there on the spot, knowing that he would have to give voice to his own sort of gut reaction, basically, Jesus essentially looks straight back at the lawyer and frames it in such a way as to say, the Samaritan acted from his gut. Now, what does your gut tell you? Basically, Jesus essentially asks the question, why did the Samaritan cross the road? And the lawyer answers, to show mercy. Intriguing answer, right? Telling answer, right? Nowhere else in the passage does the word mercy appear. But yet, that's how the lawyer responds. Out of literally a limitless number of responses available to him, he comes up with the one who showed him mercy. Now, questioning the answer to this question is just like questioning the question itself. You can make it fit just about anything you need. You can make it your own. It's so adaptable. It's so malleable. What was it about what Jesus said, or better yet, what was it that the lawyer heard that made the lawyer say, mercy? Not love, not kindness, not faithfulness. Mercy. Not gentleness, not generosity, but mercy. Out of any and every response the lawyer could have given, he chose to respond with, mercy. And then Jesus simply says, go and do likewise. How interesting. Maybe that's what he needed to say. Maybe that's what the lawyer needed to feel. Maybe that's what he needed to experience that day. And maybe that's why Jesus left it open like that. Why did the Samaritan cross the road? Lawyer answers, to show mercy. Jesus says, go and do likewise. What about you? What's in your gut? What's your answer today? You see, this whole thing, it's funny and it's not funny at all. It's humorous and it's anti-humor. There are literally limitless ways to answer this question, but if you were to offer up the most straightforward solution in your mind right now, what would you say? What's your answer? Why did the Samaritan cross the road? Now go and do likewise. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to the Reverend Dr. Brian Coulter, Senior Pastor of First Presbyterian Church of Fort Worth, Texas. For a free transcript of his sermon today called Why Did the Samaritan Cross the Road? Call us at 404-815-9110. That's 404-815-9110. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. Keep in mind that Day One depends on the financial offerings of our faithful listeners. Please send your gift to Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. We're grateful for your help. I'm Peter Wallace. Next week on Day One, we're honored to have with us the very Reverend Dr. Cynthia Briggs Kittredge, Dean and President of the Episcopal Seminary of the Southwest in Austin, Texas. Her sermon is called Sisters in Christ. Be sure to join us next time on Day One. Now, our Day One preacher, Brian Coulter, offers some final thoughts on his message today. Why did the Samaritan cross the road? And Brian, you made the case that that's exactly the question Jesus is asking here in Luke chapter 10, whether as a riddle or a joke or perhaps an illustration, an example, a model, you said, for how to live. Before we get into it, I wonder if you'd say something about how Jesus used these parables, stories, whatever they were, in his teaching, and how effective he was.
Oh, yeah. Parables just created all new worlds for people to live in. And Jesus would have this way of telling a story, throwing out a parable, and inviting people to think about the world in a different way. Mm-hmm. It almost became a lens through which you can see the world and see yourself. And this one in particular, I think that this parable of the Good Samaritan is so familiar. I just wanted to give people a different way to maybe look at it and respond to it today, because I would bet almost everybody who hears this has heard the parable before. But maybe we could hear it anew once again. Maybe we could enter into that parabolic world that Jesus is creating once again in a new way, just for a fresh lens to think about, well, what is that saying to us today? What is Jesus speaking to us today?
Well, you did give us a fresh lens to look at it through. You said in Jesus' story, the Samaritan lived in a different world than the priest, the Levite. Same world, but different world. He made a risky move to cross the road to help the person in the ditch. Jesus doesn't really tell us why, but he did say the Samaritan was moved with pity. So maybe he was just showing mercy in response to a need. Basically, Jesus is saying to the lawyer who started this whole thing, the Samaritan acted from his gut. Now, what does your gut tell you? So how should we as followers of Jesus go through our day by what our gut tells us?
Yeah, thank you. I think that we're given these instincts for a reason, and they're not all good. We do need gut checks every once in a while, but we are given these instincts for a reason, and I think that anytime we can talk about that pity and compassion and what moves us from our gut, or you could say it in a different way, what moves us from our core or our soul, like the things deep within us that are moving us in this world, when we can be more in tune with that, I think we can be more in tune with the way that God's calling us to live. I think we can be more in tune with the path that the Spirit sets before us. And so I would encourage us as we're continuing on this journey, just like the Samaritan was on the journey, I would encourage us to think with our gut every once in a while, be in tune with how we're feeling in that situation, and being open to what we might encounter on the road.
Brian, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will carry with them in the days ahead?
Well, I hope it's not the bad joke that I threw out there. I hope that they would perhaps remember the idea of Jesus using words to create new worlds for us to see. I would hope that they take with them the idea that we can live from deep within us out in this world in some good ways. And I'd hope that they take within them that God is speaking to their very core, asking them to respond, and that they are the only ones equipped to really do that. We're all given a unique and inspirational calling in our lives. If we can find that and live into that each and every day, things just seem to go better.
Brian Coulter, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Peter. Good to be with you.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on day one and forever.